Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome. This is PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. You are listening to the internet broadcast of Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. This is Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. Tonight, we are talking about the purple and scarlet prophecy in the Book of Revelation. Our focus is the Antichrist Rome and the upcoming destruction of Babylon. So in April, every talk for this program on PGN is focused on the Antichrist, Rome, and the upcoming destruction of Babylon tonight during the live internet broadcast. I want to talk about the escape of the false prophet, the final pope, the escape of the false prophet, who is the final pope, from the destruction of Rome. So we learn in the Book of Revelation that Jesus Christ is going to destroy all five of God's enemies. We hear that in many places in the Bible, but we actually have a report of the destruction of all five of God's enemies, all five in the Book of Revelation, in the order of the reporting of their destruction. And by the way, what is destruction of a person or entity in the Book of Revelation? It's when that individual or entity is put to death, when he or she is thrown into the lake of fire, Gehenna. Now, who of God's five enemies is first destroyed? The Antichrist. That appears in Revelation chapter 19, verses 19 and 20. Who's second? The false prophet. That's the final pope. Who's third? Satan. Revelation 20, verse 10. Who are the fourth and fifth enemies to be destroyed? The children of Satan are destroyed when they are found guilty at the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15 in the dead judged prophecy. And finally, as prophesied in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, where it says, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. In the dead judged prophecy, Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, death itself is destroyed. What does that mean? Death is literally going to be thrown into the lake of fire, Gehenna. So it was prophesied in 1 Corinthians. The reporting of the destruction of death is provided in the Book of Revelation. It was shown to John the Revelator. That's Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. Tonight, we're going to talk about the escape of the Antichrist. Excuse me, the escape of the false prophet, who is the final pope, from the upcoming destruction of Babylon. So we learn in Revelation chapter 13, which is the 666 Antichrist prophecy, that the Antichrist and the false prophet will work together in tandem. In Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist is referred to as the beast, and the false prophet is referred to as another beast. Why? They are both flunkies of Satan. We have an unholy trinity. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Who's going into the lake of fire first? It's the Antichrist. The false prophet is reported to go in second, but very close in time. Let's go there for a second to Revelation 13, where it's noted that the false prophet is another beast. Revelation chapter 13, verses 11, 12, and 13. Let's hear about the false prophet. We're going to focus on his escape from the upcoming destruction of Babylon, which is Rome. It says in Revelation 13, verse 11, "Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth." So earlier in this chapter, there's this discussion about the Antichrist and how he's going to do whatever he wants for 42 months. That's in Revelation 13, verse 5. Now here in verse 11, John the Revelator says, "Then I saw another beast," this is talking about the false prophet, "come up out of the earth. He had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon." So this other beast, which is referred to as another beast, the false prophet, is going to speak the words of Satan. So the dragon doesn't refer to China. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, we learn that the dragon is Satan. It says here, "He had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed." Okay, so the false prophet and the Antichrist work together in tandem, both having power and authority, carrying out the plans and purposes of Satan during the Great Tribulation, which is a time of great distress for who? Not the children of Satan who take the mark of the beast. It's a time of great distress for those who are the children of God, those who await the mark of God. Every person whose name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, we aren't taking the mark of the beast on our forehead. No, we're going to get the mark of God on our forehead. That's Revelation 20, verse 3, and Revelation 22, verse 4. So the Antichrist and the false prophet are working in tandem. Now we're going to go to the purple and scarlet prophecy. You can see the one-page basic study notes at blogtalkradio.com/live-prophetic. And we're about to hear this prophecy. And in a nutshell, what do we find out? We find out that there is a city which is the headquarters for the one world religion. During the Great Tribulation, there is a one world government that dominates economic and political affairs. And there's a one world religion used to deceive the people of this world, to bring a false peace, to increase the number of children that Satan will have with him, the number of children that will join Satan in the lake of fire. It's going to be a time where many, many people, billions of people are going to be deceived, and they're going to be deceived because they are going to partake in the practice of a false religion. But there will be one religion that's the mother of all false religions during this time. What does that mean? There are going to be agreements between the religious leaders in various false religions and they're going to come into agreement together, and they're going to say that they are all worshiping the same God. And this one mother religion, a great prostitute, it is the religion where the leaders wear purple and scarlet. That's why this is referred to as the purple and scarlet prophecy. We're going to hear in this prophecy that the woman, the great prostitute, is clothed in purple and scarlet. In this one world religion promoted by the great prostitute that's going to say, we're all worshiping the same one God. And who is the same one God? The Antichrist. The Antichrist. Let's go for a second back to Revelation 13, talking about the false prophet. Revelation 13 says, in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, we find out about six actions that the false prophet will take during the Great Tribulation. And here is one of those actions. Revelation 13, verse 16, talking about the false prophet, another beast. He required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And then Revelation 14 tells us, and with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast. So in other words, all the miracles that the false prophet is allowed to perform during the Great Tribulation on behalf of the Antichrist, quote, he deceived all the people who belong to this world. In the book of Revelation, people are divided into two categories. The people who belong to the kingdom, that's all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those are the sheep referred to in Matthew. Those are the wheat referred to in Matthew. Those are the good fish referred to in Matthew. And then the second group is those who belong to this world. So they're those who belong to the kingdom and those who belong to this world. So who are those who belong to this world? Those are the goats referred to in the book of Matthew. Those are the tares or the weeds referred to in the book of Matthew. Those are the individuals whose names are not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, as noted here in the book of Revelation. Those are the bad fish who, in contrast to the good fish, the children of God who are kept at the end of the world, the bad fish are thrown out. What does that mean? They're thrown into the lake of fire, which is going to be in the outer darkness. So the false prophet is going to perform miracles on behalf of the Antichrist. He will be the final pope. He will be the leader of the one world religion, the harlot church. This harlot church is going to be a great prostitute. It's going to promote, authorize, persuade, and require the people who belong to this world to worship the Antichrist, who's going to stand in the middle of the third temple, which is shortly to be rebuilt, and he's going to declare that he is God, and the false prophet is going to say it's true. And he's going to tell the people who belong to this world and those of us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he's going to tell us that we need to get the mark of the beast, that we're required to take the mark of the beast, that we can get it either on our forehead or we can get it on our right hand. Now, this is very interesting because we're now going to the purple and scarlet prophecy, and we're going to hear the reality of the harlot church, the one world religion, how there's a false Christianity, a one-world religion that's going to dominate the worship of the people who belong to this world. Now, some people will not specifically be a part of the mother religion, but they'll practice another false religion. In other words, they will still worship the Antichrist, but in the context of a religion that has a different name. But during the Great Tribulation, all false religions will come together under this one dominating, this one mother religion. We're going to hear in this prophecy, it's the mother of all prostitutes. And they're going to say, we're all worshiping the same God. We're all children of God. But the Bible says we're not all children of God. Some are children of Satan, and others are children of God. Some of us have got the Father as our Father. Some of the people have Satan as their father. Well, you say, well, how do I know if I'm a child of God or a child of Satan? Timothy tells us there is only one mediator between God and man, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father except by Jesus Christ, except through Jesus Christ. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. What does that mean? If you do not have Jesus Christ as your mediator, if you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, that means you have not been adopted into the family of God, and by default, you are in the family of Satan. Now, why does this matter? At the end of the world, and in Peter it tells us time is running out. Time is running out. What does that mean? Time ends when this world ends. After the great white throne judgment, where the children of Satan and death are thrown into the lake of fire, we transition to a new earth and new heavens, and we're in eternity future. What does that mean? We're beyond all time. We're at the place and the experiencing the reality of eternal life, where there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more grief, no more mourning for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But for those who are children of Satan, those who take the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation, who refuse to follow the instruction we're about to hear. What's the instruction? Come out from among her, lest you partake of her sins. What does that mean? During the Great Tribulation, none of us should be deceived. We should not practice a false religion. We should never, ever worship the Antichrist. No matter how many amazing miracles the false prophet, who is the final pope, no matter how many he performs. The children of Satan will experience eternity in the lake of fire. So instead of eternal life on the new earth, they'll have eternal damnation in Gehenna, the lake of fire. Now, let us go to our focus for tonight. The Antichrist, Rome, and the upcoming destruction of Babylon. And specifically, we're going to focus on how the false prophet is going to escape. He's going to escape the upcoming destruction of Babylon, which is Rome, because he is going to be present. He is going to be present at the Battle of Armageddon. Now, let's get to the prophecy. Here it is. And we're going to look at all of the key verses. We're going to hear the prophecy in its entirety. This is the purple and scarlet prophecy, which communicates the reality that Rome is Babylon, that there is a one-world religion. There's a one-world religion that will be the mother of all false religions during the Great Tribulation. It communicates a secret, which is that the Antichrist will actually be used to carry out the plans and purposes of God. The Antichrist will be used to carry out the plans and purposes of God, and he's going to destroy the headquarters for the harlot church. He's going to destroy that city, which is the headquarters for the harlot church, but the head of the harlot church, the false prophet, will not perish when Rome is destroyed. Instead, he will continue, and along with the Antichrist, he will be destroyed when he is captured, Israel, at the Battle of Armageddon. Okay, here it is, the purple and scarlet prophecy, Revelation chapter 17 and 18, as well as verses 1 to 5 of 19. John the Revelator speaking to you and me, truth seekers. Here's what he says. One of the seven angels who had poured out the seven bowls came over and spoke to me. Come with me, he said, and I will show you the judgment that is going to come on the great prostitute who rules over many waters. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her, and the people who belong to this world have been made drunk by the wine of her immorality. So the angel took me in the spirit into the wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that had seven heads and 10 horns, and blasphemies against God were written all over it. The woman wore purple and scarlet clothing and beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. In her hand, she held a gold goblet full of obscenities and the impurities of her immorality. A mysterious name was written on her forehead, Babylon the Great, mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world. I could see that she was drunk with the blood of God's holy people who were witnesses for Jesus. I stared at her in complete amazement. Why are you so amazed? The angel asked. I will tell you the mystery of this woman and of the beast with seven heads and 10 horns on which she sits. The beast you saw was once alive but isn't now, and yet he will soon come up out of the bottomless pit and go to eternal destruction. And the people who belong to this world, whose names were not written in the book of life before the world was made, will be amazed at the reappearance of this beast who had died. This calls for a mind with understanding. Let's pause for a second. So what have we learned so far? The woman in the purple and scarlet prophecy, it says that on her forehead, now this is very key. So thinking about God's system for recognition of the identity of an individual, God's system is to place a mark on the forehead of all of his children to identify us as his. Now, Satan is a counterfeit. Satan is a plagiarizer, a liar, and a thief. So everything that God does, he wants to do. So Satan says, oh, God's going to put his mark on the forehead of his children. You know what? I'm going to put my mark on the forehead of my children. So the mark of the beast is a counterfeit mark. Satan's copying what he knows that God is going to do. Here, it's revealed to John the Revelator that the woman who was a great prostitute on her forehead, so this is communicating, what is the identity of this metaphorical woman? The identity is this. She is Babylon the Great, which we're going to learn shortly in the same prophecy, is a city. And what is this city? It says, mother of all prostitutes. Now, what is a prostitute in the book of Revelation and also in some of the books of the minor prophets? But let's focus here on the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, prostitution always refers to giving one's affection, being intimate, giving your affection, giving one's affection to a false god, worshiping a false god. That is prostitution. We're supposed to be the wise virgins, not giving ourselves over to worship false god, practicing a false religion. So this city, Babylon the Great, is the city that's the headquarter for the one world religion during the Great Tribulation. Now, we're told that this woman that sits on the scarlet beast, she wears purple and scarlet clothing and beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. Now, I want to talk to you about this. Last Sunday, on this talk, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, I focused on the reality that Babylon is Rome, and time constraints don't permit us to discuss everything that was discussed during that talk, but I want to hit some highlights. So here are some key points. Talking about purple and scarlet, the Bible specifically, we're going to hear about Babylon and some clues about what is the city of Babylon. Let's start with the first clue that helps us to understand the secret of what is the one world religion. So it says the woman wore purple and scarlet clothing. So that's very specific. Clothing is a garment that you wear. Now, I'm looking at a document that I want to read from to share with you. This document is called What a Bishop Wears, and it was published in February of 2014 by the Office of Worship for the Diocese of Harrisburg. So in the religion that's the one world religion during the Great Tribulation, during the Great Tribulation, there will be a mother religion. And this religion has leadership. And the leadership looks like this. There's a head. At the head is the false prophet, who is the final pope. Underneath the pope, there's a college of cardinals and a college of bishops. Bishops wear purple, cardinals wear scarlet. Now let's talk about what a bishop wears. Now, according to this document, bishops wear, and again, just due to time constraints, I won't be able to go over all of this, but I just want to share this with you. In this document, it's revealed that bishops wear a sash, and it says that bishops wear purple for the sash, which is a wide belt worn around the waist with the cassock with two longer bands hemmed with fringe that hang from the waist. And bishops also wear a mozzetta, a longer purple cape that comes to just above the waist and buttoned in front and worn over the choir cassock for special ceremonies. Also, it says that bishops wear a beretta, which is a square purple cap with three points and a tuff used in special ceremonies. In addition, It's noted that bishops wear a zucchetto, a small round silk skullcap worn by Catholic bishops. Now, when the Pope wears a zucchetto, it says, quote, it is white for the Pope and, quote, purple for a bishop. In addition, bishops wear a ferra, I'm not sure how to pronounce this correctly, ferrolo, F-E-R-R-A-I-O-L-O, I'll learn how to pronounce that, which is a long purple cape worn by the bishop over the house cassock for solemn non-liturgical events and ceremonies. Okay, now there's more in this document, but the key point is this. It says in here, in the book of Revelation, talking about the woman, this is the one world religion, the mother of all prostitutes. So a prostitute individual who gives his or her affections to a false god, who practices a false religion. So the mother of all prostitutes is the one world religion. The religion that says, hey, we're all worshiping the same God, and he is here. He is the Antichrist. He is among us. You need to get the mark of the beast. You're required to get the mark of the beast. You're required to worship the statue of the beast, which the false prophet, the final pope, is going to commission, a statue of the Antichrist. Now, it says the woman wore purple and scarlet clothing. Let me share more about that. Now, in the one world religion that's going to dominate the people who belong to this world, they will be led by their supreme leader, the false prophet, who is the final pope. The final pope will be elected by a college of cardinals. So cardinals are leaders in the Catholic Church, and there are 200, as of April 8th, 2024, according to the Free Encyclopedia, there are 238 cardinals, of whom 128 are eligible to vote in a conclave to elect a new pope. Cardinals are appointed by the pope for life. So they have a tremendous amount of power and authority. An individual cannot become a pope without being elected or promoted to that position by the cardinals who are eligible to vote in a conclave. So the pope is elected because the cardinals appoint him to that position. What about the cardinals? What do they wear? So there are thousands of bishops. They are leaders, and they have a college of bishops. They are leaders, and cardinals are leaders. So we know that bishops wear purple. What do cardinals wear? Well, I want to read to you from an interesting blog that I came across. I came across a blog called Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, which is My People Are Destroyed for Lack of Knowledge. And in this blog, if I could get to the part where he talks about it, the author of this blog talks about I'm reading from the Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 blog, very interesting perspective. He says, as a former Roman Catholic, I understand the strong reaction to hearing someone speak against our personal beliefs. As a cancer survivor, however, who was saved by Jesus Christ, when doctors, medicine, and my false religion all fail to save me. I also know what it is to fear and despise the truth initially that's intended only to help save us. And so I would ask that you try to keep a few things in mind in your own search for the truth. So here is a person who practiced what he now calls a false religion. What he now calls a false religion, and elsewhere on his blog, he talked about how he was looking at a gathering of bishops and cardinals, and all of a sudden he realized he was looking at a sea of purple and scarlet. So I think you know where I'm going with this. I think you know where I'm going with this. Cardinals wear a specific color, and that color is scarlet. So cardinals wear a specific color. That color is scarlet. If you look at the colors, if you go to the internet and you type in pictures of bishops and cardinals, you will see a sea of purple and scarlet. A sea of purple and scarlet. So one individual referred to it this way. A few years ago, I watched a televised broadcast of the papal Christmas Mass at the Vatican, and it looked like a sea of purple and scarlet. The Catholic Encyclopedia describes, so I'm reading from thewayoflife.org. I'm reading now from wayoflife.org, and this individual says, the Catholic Encyclopedia describes the garments of the Catholic clergy, and then he goes on to say, the color, one is called the Kappa Magna, a cloak with a long train with a hooded shoulder cape. The color of it was purple wool for bishops, scarlet silk for cardinals, and red velvet for the Pope. The cassock was a close-fitting ankle-length robe. The color was purple for bishops and scarlet for cardinals. So I don't want to belabor this point. There's so many sites where you can find extremely detailed information about the regalia, the uniform, if you will, the regalia, the outfits worn by leadership, for the Roman Catholic Church. So it is extremely well documented that the Catholic Church is indeed clothed with purple and scarlet. And, in fact, Catholic leadership is comprised of one supreme leader, a pope, and under him, a college of bishops who wear purple, and a college of cardinals who wear red. Now, again, going back to the book of Revelation, what does it tell us? The woman wore purple and scarlet clothing. And it also says, in beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. There are also many documents where you can see gold crowns that various leaders in the Roman Catholic Church wear. They're made of gold and precious gems and pearls. Perhaps we can get into that at another time. Now I want to get to continuing with this prophecy, because our focus is the fact that the final pope is going to escape the upcoming destruction of Babylon. So Rome is going to be destroyed. Rome is Babylon. It's the headquarters for the one world religion, the harlot church during the Great Tribulation. Let's continue with the prophecy. Revelation chapter 17, continuing verse 9. This calls for a mind with understanding. The seven heads of the beast represent the seven hills where the woman rules. Let's pause there. So where the woman rules. So remember, this started off with saying a mysterious name was written on her forehead, Babylon the Great. So this woman, the one world religion, on her forehead was Babylon the Great. Babylon is a location. It's a place. Now we're told the beast that the woman rides on, it says the seven heads of the beast represent the seven hills where the woman rules. So where is the headquarters for the Roman Catholic Church, the mother of all prostitutes during the Great Tribulation? Now, please, please, please don't be offended. Please don't be offended. I do not have anything against any human being, and I don't have anything against any religion. My purpose, my assignment is to communicate secrets that are revealed in the book of Revelation. Now, as a truth seeker, you decide, is this truth? The Bible is communicating soon coming realities, and each of us is free to accept or reject the truth revealed in the Bible. Now, if you say, I hate the Bible, you could do that, but it doesn't make good sense. You want to use truth to inform your thinking. So a right course of action is for each human being to go to the Word of God, find out what is true, and then rearrange, readjust everything in our storehouse of knowledge, in our semantic memory, in our ways of thinking, rearrange everything in our way of thinking so that it lines up with the Word of God. What many people do, which is out of order, is they decide that they already know what is true, then they go to the Bible to find scripture that lines up with what they believe. So unconsciously, they go to cherry pick only certain verses, often looking at them out of context, so that they're able to feel persuaded that, in fact, what they already knew was true is true because, hey, they have this one scripture or this second scripture or these eight scriptures, and if you pull them all out of context and you put them together in this certain specific order, it seems to be saying one thing, but in reality, that's not saying that at all. It's not saying that at all. So we're looking at this prophecy in its entirety. We're not going to cherry-pick parts out of it. We're looking at it in its entirety. Why? Why? Because we're truth seekers. We need to know what is true. What is this harlot church? Who is the false prophet? We need to know this so we won't be deceived. Now, it says in verse 9, the seven heads of the beast represent the seven hills where the woman rules. Last Sunday on our talk, I shared a lot of information about that. Today, we're going to focus on the escape of the false prophet, the final pope, from the upcoming destruction of Rome. So I just want to mention here that Rome is the city of seven hills. Now, there are many cities where folks have said, oh, this is the city of seven hills. In fact, my birthplace, Washington, D.C., is one city listed as a city that has been reported as a city of seven hills. But in reality, when we look at this prophecy in its entirety, it's clear that this city, Babylon, is Rome, because Washington, D.C. isn't clothed in purple and scarlet. Jerusalem isn't clothed in purple and scarlet, and certainly Jerusalem's not going to be destroyed forever and ever. We're about to hear that Rome's going to be destroyed. Babylon is going to be destroyed. Jerusalem is going to exist forever and ever. We're even going to have a new Jerusalem on the new earth, so it can't be Jerusalem, and it's not Washington, D.C., it's Rome. Let's continue, but that's one more secret about the identity of Babylon. Okay, let's continue. The seven heads of the beast represent the seven hills where the woman rules. So the one world religion rules from Rome, the city of seven hills. They also represent seven kings. Five kings have already fallen. The sixth now reigns, and the seventh is yet to come, but his reign will be brief. The scarlet beast that was but is no longer is the eighth king. Now, the scarlet beast is the Antichrist. In the book of Revelation, when the word beast is used, sometimes beast is referring to Satan, as in Revelation chapter 13 at the beginning. Satan is the beast that comes up out of the bottomless pit, Revelation 20 verses 1 to 10. Sometimes in Revelation chapter 13 verses 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, sometimes beast is referring to another beast, which is the false prophet. Sometimes beast is referring to the Antichrist. Sometimes beast is referring to the 10-nation alliance. So you have to look at the context to see what beast. Now we're about to hear the scarlet beast is the Antichrist. Let's continue. The scarlet beast that was but is no longer is the eighth king. He's like the other seven, and he too is headed for destruction. What does that mean? The Antichrist is headed for destruction. Destruction is the second death for an individual or entity. So the Antichrist is headed for that lake of fire, Gehenna. Verse 12, continuing, the 10 horns of the beast are 10 kings who have not yet risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment to reign with the beast. So during the Great Tribulation, there will be a 10-nation alliance. 10 nations will ally together, iron mingled with clay, in an attempt to be very strong. They will be the last one-world government. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. God showed him that his government was the first one-world government, and at the time of the end, there would be the last one-world government. And he saw 10 toes, and he saw at the bottom of a giant statue, iron mingled with clay. 10 toes represent what's referred to here, the 10 horns of the beast, who are 10 kings who have not yet risen to power. So these 10 kings had not risen to power during John the Revelator's time, but they will be in power during our time, during the Great Tribulation. Now it says they will be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment to reign with the beast. The Great Tribulation is exactly 1,260 days. We know that from Revelation 12. Revelation 13, that's 42 months, same thing. We know it from Daniel, a time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5 years. So you can think of it in terms of years, 3.5 years, days, 1,260 days, or maybe you like months, 42 months. You can use these different ways to communicate the value of time, months, days, or years, but it's the same length of time. So they're going to reign with the Antichrist for exactly 1,260 days. Now, does that mean that they all come into power at the same time as the Antichrist? No. But in talking about them ruling in tandem with the Antichrist. So these 10 kings, once they become an alliance, the one world government, they're going to choose to make the Antichrist their leader. That's revealed in Daniel chapter 7. They're going to choose to make the Antichrist their leader. He's also going to put down three of those kings. Then he's going to emerge as the leader. Perhaps they don't agree with him. I don't know. Okay, let's continue. Revelation chapter 17, verse 13, it says, they will all agree to give him, who's him, the scarlet beast, the Antichrist, they will all agree to give him their power and authority. Now, here's what's very interesting. This is a prophecy about the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 14 says, together they will go, who's they, these 10 kings, and the Antichrist, together they will go to war against the Lamb. So the Antichrist is going to go against, he's going to go to war against Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. When does that happen? At the Battle of Armageddon. Together they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them. So Jesus Christ is coming to fight and win the Battle of Armageddon. And it says here, but the Lamb will defeat them because he is Lord of all lords and King of all kings. And his called and chosen and faithful ones will be with him. Then the angel said to me, the waters where the prostitute is ruling represent masses of people of every nation and language. Let's pause there. So who's the prostitute? The prostitute is the mother of all prostitutes, the harlot church. The harlot church clothed in purple and scarlet. And what is this harlot church going to do during the Great Tribulation? It says that she, quote, is ruling. And the waters where the prostitute is ruling represent, quote, masses of people of every nation and language. Now, what does every mean? Every doesn't mean a majority. Every doesn't mean 51%. It doesn't even mean a vast majority. It doesn't mean 80% or 90%. Every nation means 100%. So whether we're talking about Eritrea, Zimbabwe, Switzerland, Portugal, we're talking about every nation. Every nation literally means all nations will be impacted by the one world religion during the Great Tribulation. It's so difficult, really, to wrap one's brains around this. Today, we're so fragmented, you know, particularly in nations where individuals have the right to decide what religion to be a part of. For example, here in the United States of America, people can practice whatever religion they want. Now, if you're in certain nations like North Korea or other nations, people don't have that kind of choice. But in places like the United States of America, Canada, London, United Kingdom, people do whatever they want. So for those of us who have never been under an oppressive government in the sense that we were required to practice a specific religion, it's hard to imagine living in a time and in a place where everyone's practicing the same religion. So during the Great Tribulation, the way that this is going to work is that there will be one governing one world religion. This religion will be led by leadership clothed with purple and scarlet, as revealed in the Bible. And this one world religion will allow other religions to come up under its authority. They will all come into agreement saying that they are all worshiping the same God who is the Antichrist. So they will all say, you can fill in the blank, whether it's religion A, religion B, religion C, religion D, every religion that does not have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that does not say Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that does not say Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man, that does not say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no man gets to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Every religion that does not say that is a false religion, and all of those religions will come under the leadership, under the authority of the one world religion. So in that way, that religion will have many children. It'll be the mother of all the prostitutes. In other words, the mother of all the false religions. So at that time, people in false religion A, false religion B, false religion C, they're going to be experiencing what they believe is extraordinary peace. But it's a false peace, because instead of them saying, oh, we're all so different, I worship God, and they'll call God one name and the other religion calls God another name, at that time all the false religions are going to refer to the same false God who is the Antichrist. So again, Revelation 17, verse 15 says, the waters where the prostitute is ruling represents masses of people of every nation and language. The scarlet beast and his 10 horns all hate the prostitute. Now, this is very interesting. Now we're talking about the reality of Babylon. So Babylon is Rome. It's the headquarters for the mother of all prostitutes, the one world religion, the harlot church during the Great Tribulation. It's going to be an incredibly wealthy city. Put together the wealth of New York City, the wealth of Beijing, the wealth of Tokyo, the wealth of Dubai. Just think of every city that you believe has fantastic wealth at this point in time. Put all that together. Now think about it. If all these false religions are sending their money, right? They're sending their money to support the one world religion, and that one world religion has its headquarters in this city. That city is going to become very, very wealthy, very fast, very fast. And it already has the authority of of the false prophet, the final pope, who's going to say, send, everyone should be sending their money to us. Now let's continue. Verse 16 in Revelation 17 says, the scarlet beast, talking about the Antichrist, and his 10 horns all hate the prostitute. So for some reason, they're gonna hate this. Now my best guess is, even when people have a lot of power, when they're inspired by Satan, it's never enough. So the Antichrist, he is going to share power with the false prophet. He will have more power than any other man on this present earth at that time, but he won't have all the wealth of the world. Rome will be the most wealthy city in the entire world at that time. Let's hear about it. Verse 16 says, talking about the prostitute, they will strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her remains with fire. For God has put a plan into their minds, a plan that will carry out his purposes. They will agree to give their authority to the scarlet beast, and so the words of God will be fulfilled. What is this saying? The 10-nation alliance, the one world government, is going to make the Antichrist their leader. And at some point, they're going to give all their power over to the scarlet beast, the Antichrist. And what's the Antichrist going to do with the support of his one world government? They're going to burn Rome. They're going to burn the headquarters for the prostitute. They're going to burn her with fire. Verse 18 says, and this woman you saw in your vision represents the great city that rules over the kings of the world. What's this great city? It's where the woman rules. Where does she rule? She rules from the headquarters for her religion. Well, what's the religion? The Roman Catholic Church. It's the Roman Catholic Church, which is clothed with purple and scarlet. The Roman and Catholic Church during the Great Tribulation. So the Antichrist, he's going, due to hatred in his heart, he's going to decide that he wants to destroy this city. Now let's hear about that. Revelation 18, continuing with the purple and scarlet prophecy. After all this, I saw another angel come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with his splendor. He gave a mighty shout. Now, we're about to hear about the upcoming destruction of Rome. The upcoming destruction of Rome. And this is very interesting because the leader, the false prophet, he's going to escape this destruction. He's going to live to see the Battle of Armageddon. But at the Battle of Armageddon, he's going to be captured. And then he's thrown, after the Antichrist, he's thrown into the lake of fire, Gehenna. But the headquarters for the one world religion, which the final pope, he is the leader of the one world religion. He is the false prophet referred to in Revelation chapter 13 and in Revelation chapter 16. It says here in the purple and scarlet prophecy, the angel gave a mighty shout, quote, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen. So what city are we talking about? The headquarters for the one world religion during the Great Tribulation. What's the one world religion? It's the religion where leadership, where what? They're clothed in purple and scarlet, and it's the city of seven hills where the woman rules. It's the headquarters for the one world religion. The angel says, quote, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen. She has become a home for demons. So this is saying Rome is going to become a home for demons. What are demons? Demons are fallen angels. Now, in Revelation 12, we learn that at some point in time during the Great Tribulation, Satan is demoted. What do I mean by that? Right now, Satan has the ability to walk to and fro on the earth and to complain to God and be the accuser of the brethren. Who's that? Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So he's allowed at this time, he's allowed to taunt God, to say, oh, you think so-and-so loves you? Well, let me tell you about what sister so-and-so did or brother so-and-so did. So he's running back and forth between the earth and heaven. He can be in either place. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm confident that heaven is more comfortable, more luxurious than the fallen earth. But Satan, at some point during the Great Tribulation, according to Revelation chapter 12, he's thrown out of heaven. Michael's given the green light to take him out. Out of where? Out of heaven. So he's thrown out of heaven, and where does he go? He comes to the earth, and that makes him angry, we're told in Revelation 12. Why? Number one, he can't be in the best place there is to be. So there are three places that an angel or a human being can be: on this present earth, in heaven, or underneath the earth. So an angel or a person can be in Hades, that's the current hell underneath the earth, above the earth, in present heaven, or on the earth, which is fallen. Now, the worst place is Hades, a prison of darkness. The earth, well, you know what it is. Now, we're three in one. That's a benefit. We're three in one. The earth is wonderful, but it's fallen. The best place is heaven. But Satan's not going to be permitted to stay in heaven once he's thrown out. That makes him angry. He's thrown out, and who else is thrown out with him? All of the angels who are Team Satan. All the angels who are Team Satan. So when they are thrown out, where do they go? Where will their home be? So their home is going to be here on the present earth. Now, during the Great Tribulation, where specifically? This scripture tells us that secret, talking about the headquarters for the one world religion. She has become a home for demons. Rome is going to become a home, the headquarters for every fallen angel. Now, will they go to other locations? Of course they will. They'll have their demonic assignments from Satan himself. But their home base is going to be Rome, the city of seven hills, where the woman's clothed in purple and scarlet rules. So it says, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen. She has become a home for demons. She is a hideout for every foul spirit, a hideout for every foul vulture and every foul and dreadful animal. For all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. So Rome, the headquarters for the one world religion, the harlot church, is going to passionately worship the Antichrist. They're going to wear the mark of the beast on their forehead and on their hands with pride. They're going to tell other people, you need to have the mark of the beast. The Antichrist is God, the God we've been waiting for. They're going to say the Antichrist is the Messiah, which, of course, is a lie from the pits of hell. They're going to tell the Muslims the Antichrist is the Mahdi that you've been waiting for. They're going to tell the Hindus the Antichrist is Krishna reincarnated. They're going to tell the Buddhists the Antichrist is, and just keep going on like that. just keep going on like that, they are going to deceive the people who belong to this world, and they're going to passionately give their affections, their worship to a false god, the Antichrist. They're going to partake in adultery. Adultery. They're going to cheat. They're going to cheat on the bridegroom and give themselves, instead of giving themselves to Jesus Christ, they're going to give themselves to the Antichrist, making them terrors, making them prostitutes. Then it says, the kings of the world have committed adultery with her because of her desires for extravagant luxury, talking about Rome. The merchants of the world have grown rich. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven. Come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her. For her sins are piled as high as heaven, and God remembers her evil deeds. Now let's pause here for a second. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says that there's a blessing that comes on everyone who hears the prophecies in the book of Revelation and who obeys the prophecies. Now, in many of the prophecies in the book of Revelation, there's an instruction. So how do you obey a prophecy? You follow the instruction provided in that prophecy. So what's the instruction? Revelation 18, verse 4, come away from her, who's her? The one world religion, the harlot church, the mother of all prostitutes. Come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins. Well, what are her sins? Her sins are practicing a false religion, worshiping a false god, the Antichrist, taking the mark of the beast, worshiping the statue of the Antichrist commissioned by the false prophet who's the final pope. Verse 5 in Revelation 18 continuing says, for her sins are piled as high as heaven, and God remembers her evil deeds. Do to her as she has done to others. Now we're about to hear about the upcoming destruction of Babylon, the upcoming destruction of Rome. Do to her as she has done to others. Double her penalty for all her evil deeds. She brewed a cup of terror for others, so brew twice as much for her. So terror to Christians during the Great Tribulation, that's going to come through the Antichrist and the false prophet. Terror to Christians during the Great Tribulation, we are going to be here during the Great Tribulation, it's going to come as a result of the actions of the Antichrist and the actions of the one world religion. It says, do to her as she has done to others, double her penalty for all her evil deeds. She brewed a cup of terror for others, so brew twice as much for her. She glorified herself and lived in luxury, so match it now with torment and sorrow. She boasted in her heart, I am queen on my throne. I am no helpless widow, and I have no reason to mourn. Therefore, these plagues will overtake her in a single day. So what's going to overtake the headquarters for the one world religion in a single day? Here it is, death and mourning and famine. Now, the Bible says, do not take part in her sins or you will be punished with her. So what is the punishment? The punishment is this. These plagues will overtake her in a single day, death and mourning and famine. You don't want to die and have your disembodied spirit descend into Hades underneath this earth where all of the other people who have rejected Jesus Christ, the liars, the rapists, the murderers, the adulterers, you don't want to be separated from God and in a prison of darkness awaiting the great white throne judgment. If you refuse to come up out of a false religion, then you will do what? You will partake of her punishment. Now let's hear that instruction again. This is not my wish for anyone. This is the reality of God's plans purposes and decisions. Come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her. So anyone who is a member of the harlot church, anyone who practices either the mother religion or any of the other false religions that come up under its authority will be punished. Now, what's the punishment coming to Rome? It says, these plagues will overtake her in a single day, death and mourning and famine. She will be completely consumed by fire. Now, we already knew Rome was going to be consumed by fire because at the end of Revelation 17, it said God put a plan into the mind of the Antichrist to destroy Rome with fire. She will be completely consumed by fire, for the Lord God who judges her is mighty. And the kings of the world who committed adultery with her, so in other words, these presidents and prime ministers, many of them are going to make the one world religion the national religion. So what does that mean? They're committing adultery. Instead of giving themselves to Jesus Christ, who's the bridegroom, they give themselves to the Antichrist. They worship the Antichrist. It says, and the kings of the world who committed adultery with her and enjoyed her great luxury. So Rome's going to be the wealthiest city on this planet, the wealthiest city on earth, will mourn for her as they see the smoke rising from her charred remains. So Rome is going up in fire. What's going to happen when it happens in a single day? They will stand at a distance. This is talking about the prime ministers and presidents of the different nations. They will stand at a distance, terrified by her great torment. They will cry out, how terrible for you, O Babylon, you great city. In a single moment, God's judgment came on you. So they're going to realize this is the judgment of God. Then we learn about, well, what do the business people say? So we learned about what the presidents and prime ministers say, but what about the business people? Verse 11 says, the merchants of the world will weep and mourn for her, talking about Rome, for there is no one left to buy their goods. She bought great quantities of gold, silver, jewels, and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth. Why do they need purple and scarlet cloth? To clothe the cardinals and the bishops. They're going to have probably even more bishops because that religion is going to grow. It says, things made of fragrant thyine wood, ivory goods and objects made of expensive wood and bronze, iron, and marble. She also bought cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, wagons, and bodies, that is human slaves. Let me pause there for a second. Human trafficking is an unfortunate reality, inspired by who? Satan. This prophecy reveals that the mother of all prostitutes is going to be a partaker in human trafficking. Now, I don't want to go too deep into that. We've been talking about it. Prophet Randy's been talking about it. Andrea's been talking about it here on PGN. Many of you saw the movie The Sound of Freedom. Human trafficking is a reality. During the Great Tribulation, it's going to continue to be a reality. And part of the ugly reality of human trafficking is that the one world religion is going to buy human slaves. Now, if that doesn't make you want to come up out of it, I don't know what will. You do not want to be a part of the one world religion. It says her sins are piled as high as heaven. One of the sins is buying slaves. Can you imagine an intelligent, thoughtful person being a slave owner in 2024, 2025, 2032, whatever the year is? It's a soon coming year. Now, let's continue. The fancy things you love so much are gone, they cry. So this is what the business people are going to say when they see Rome being destroyed. All your luxuries and splendors are gone forever, never to be yours again. The merchants who became wealthy by selling her these things, talking about Rome, will stand at a distance, terrified by her great torment. They will weep and cry out, how terrible for that great city. She was clothed in finest purple and scarlet linens, decked out with gold and precious stones and pearls. In a single moment, all the wealth of the city is gone. All the wealth. What does all the wealth mean? 100%. 100%. Then it says, and all the captains of the merchant ships and their passengers and sailors and crews will stand at a distance. Now, beyond Rome proper, there will be merchant ships. And on these ships, there'll be captains and sailors and crews and passengers. They're going to be looking at Rome, which is going to be destroyed in a single day, and what's their response going to be? Well, we're told here, Revelation 18, verse 18, they will cry out as they watch the smoke ascend. So who's watching Rome burn? Who's watching the judgment of God? Rome is burning. Now, who actually carries out this plan to destroy Rome? It's the Antichrist. That secret's revealed. But it's the judgment of God. He's carrying out the plans and purposes of God. God put this plan in the Antichrist's mind, it says, Revelation 17. So the presidents and prime ministers are watching Rome burn. We hear their reaction. The business people are watching Rome burn. We hear their reaction. Now we're hearing captains of the ships that are nearby, the sailors and crews and passengers, and it says in Revelation 18, verse 18, they will cry out as they watch the smoke ascend, and they will say, where is there another city as great as this? And they will weep and throw dust on their heads to show their grief, and they will cry out, how terrible for that great city. The ship owners became wealthy by transporting her great wealth on the seas. In a single moment, it's all gone. Now, that's their reaction, but what is the reaction for us, the people of God? Verse 20 says, rejoice over her fate, O heaven, and people of God, and apostles and prophets, for at last God has judged her for your sakes. Now, what does it mean, at last? 3.5 years might not seem like a long period of time for us right now, but for those of us who are here during the Great Tribulation, and the people of God will be here during the Great Tribulation, it's going to be a long 3.5 years. It's going to be a time of great tribulation for who? Not the people who belong to this world, but the people who belong to the kingdom. The Great Tribulation is a time of great distress for those who are Team Jesus. It's the wrath of Satan. Now, the seven final plagues that come after the Great Tribulation, that's the wrath of God. That's what we are not appointed to, and that's the time of great distress for those who are Team Satan. For who? Those who are Team Satan. Now, what's our reaction when Rome is burning? It says, rejoice over her fate, O heaven. We're in Revelation 18, verse 20. And people of God and apostles and prophets, for at last God has judged her for your sakes. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a huge millstone. He threw it into the ocean and shouted, just like this, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down with violence and will never be found again. Rome is never, ever going to be found again. You know, the Romans, they burned, they destroyed the second temple in 70 AD. They played a very prominent role in the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and Rome is going to play a prominent role during the Great Tribulation, and ultimately, what is its fate? It's going to be destroyed, the angel says, just like this, the great city Babylon will be thrown down with violence and will never be found again. The sound of harps, singers, flutes, and trumpets will never be heard in you again. No craftsmen and no trades will ever be found in you again. The sound of the mill will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The happy voices of brides and grooms will never be heard in you again, for your merchants were the greatest in the world. So all the business people who live in Rome during the Great Tribulation, they're going to be more wealthy than the business people who live other places. And you deceive the nations with your sorceries. So again, it's the headquarters for the harlot church. It's where the leadership for the one world religion, clothed in purple and scarlet, promote the Antichrist. So they deceive the nations with your sorceries. The false prophet, the leader of the one world religion, we learn in Revelation 13, he's going to perform astounding miracles, even calling fire from heaven. This is going to deceive many people when they see, and that's just one of the miracles that he's going to perform, but they're miracles using the supernatural power of Satan, not the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. So what does it say? Babylon and the one world religion deceive the nations with, for your merchants were the greatest in the world, and you deceived the nations with your sorceries. In your streets flow the blood of the prophets and of God's holy people. Remember, this one world religion is going to be used to bring terror to Christians during the Great Tribulation, and the Antichrist is also going to bring terror to Christians. And it says, and the blood of people slaughtered all over the world. Finally, Revelation 19. Verses 1 to 5, after this, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting, praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. His judgments are true and just. He has punished the great prostitute. In other words, God has punished the one world religion, and he has destroyed the headquarters for the harlot church. The headquarters for the harlot church during the Great Tribulation is Babylon, which is Rome. It's going to be destroyed, and the response of those in heaven is this. Praise the Lord, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. His judgments are true and just. He has punished the great prostitute. In other words, he's punished the one world religion. He's punished the harlot church, who corrupted the earth with her immorality. He has avenged the murder of his servants. What's the murder of his servants? Revelation 20, verse 4 and 5, the beheading of people, some people who give testimony for Jesus Christ, who refuse to take the mark of the beast, who refuse to worship the statue of the Antichrist, who is the beast during the Great Tribulation, some people are going to be beheaded and will lose their lives because of testifying on behalf of in promotion of Jesus Christ. But what's God going to do? Quote, he has avenged the murder of his servants. What murder are we talking about? We're not talking about murder in 2024. People are being martyred today in 2024, but this is specifically talking about people who will be martyred during the Great Tribulation. Verse 3 of chapter 19 says, and again, their voices rang out, praise the Lord. The smoke from that city ascends forever and ever. Then the 24 elders and the four living beings fell down and worshiped God, who was sitting on the throne. They cried out, amen, praise the Lord. And from the throne came a voice that said, praise our God, all his servants, all who fear him, from the least to the greatest. So the response in heaven by the people of God and the four living beings and the 24 elders and the angels is to praise God when judgment, which is punishment from God, judgment is punishment from God, when punishment from God, the judgment of God comes on Babylon, when it is destroyed, when does that happen? It happens after the Great Tribulation, the headquarters from the one world religion, it is going to be destroyed. It is going to be destroyed. That's the punishment of God. And what's the instruction for every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do not partake of her sins. Well, friend and truth seeker, let's go to the take-home point. Rome is going to be destroyed. That's Babylon, the headquarters for the one world religion. Interestingly, the false prophet is not there. He will not be there when it is destroyed, and we know that because Revelation chapter 19, here we are at the Battle of Armageddon, later in the Marriage Supper prophecy, Revelation 19 says, then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. So the Antichrist and the armies sent by the nations of the world, they're on one side, and on the other side is Jesus in the armies of heaven. So Jesus is sitting on a white horse, wearing many crowns. The armies of heaven are dressed in white. They're on white horses. And verse 20 says, and the beast was captured. That's the Antichrist. Here it is. And with him the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast. Miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Now, you cannot accept the mark of the beast and worship the statue of the beast unless you're here when the mark of the beast is available and when the statue of the Antichrist is available. Those things are only available during the Great Tribulation. So it has to be that the first resurrection is after the Great Tribulation. Now, what's going to happen? What's going to happen again to the false prophet at the Battle of Armageddon, which is after the destruction of Rome? It says, and the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. So the false prophet, the final pope, he is going to escape the destruction of Rome, but he will not escape the second death. He will be captured at the Battle of Armageddon, and he will go into the lake of fire along with the Antichrist. Thank you, friend and truth seeker, for being here with me and with us. I encourage you to be with us again next Thursday at 7 p.m. Texas time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to unlock this Sunday and next Thursday, every Sunday at 12 noon Texas time, 7 p.m. on Thursday, more secrets in the book of Revelation. If you haven't done so yet, I encourage you today, according to Jeremiah 33:3, call out to God. He promises to show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know. Until next time, friend and truth seeker, God bless you.